The Freedom of Information Act passed into law nearly 50 years ago, and it seems like FOIA has been the subject of reform ever since. Now, once again, we're hearing the words presumption of openness and overuse of exemptions. What's really needed for reform, and is there any chance it will happen? For one view, we turn to Alex Howard, senior analyst at the Sunlight Foundation. Alex, good to have you back.
It's a pleasure to join you.
It seems like this is a perennial topic in Washington, is the reform of FOIA. What is cooking this time around?
Well, we've actually seen, yet again, both the House and the Senate pass a bill focused on reforming the Freedom of Information Act. This occurred in the last Congress as well, and then the clock ran out on passing reform. We've learned since then that you had independent agencies lobbying against the very same FOIA reforms that they're entrusted with making, along with some financial interests. This time, we have a bit more time to see the laws actually get through Congress, and right now, Congress is negotiating behind closed doors, ironically, about what exactly is going to happen, because the two bills in question are a little bit different, so what actually emerges and heads to the president's desk is still unknown.
Before we get to the two bills, what did you mean by financial interests that are working against FOIA reform?
Well, there's some concern in the private sector that in the case of regulatory agencies and the dealings that they have with their banks, in this case, or other kinds of entities, that the discussions that they have might be privileged. They might contain sensitive information, proprietary information, something that would be of value to business intelligence in the market, et cetera. And since one of the principal users of FOIA are commercial interests, I think there was some worry on that count that they would have that exposed. Now, people on the other side of the issue point out that that's one of the reasons exemptions exist and that perhaps such concerns were overblown.
Okay, so let's talk about the two competing bills again. What would they basically do and what are the differences?
Sure. In both cases, the bills agree on a number of things. So the first is the, as you say, mention of the presumption of openness. This is something that President Barack Obama set out in a memorandum on his first day of office, seems like a century ago, back in 2009, where unless a disclosure causes identifiable harm to an interest protected by a FOIA exemption, or if it's prohibited by law, that material should be released. And then Attorney General Eric Holder also issues a memorandum basically trying to reset the Department of Justice's FOIA policy towards the same presumption and changing the litmus test for when it would defend or request. So really shifting the default from where it had been under the Bush administration. Both bills would codify what the president and former attorney general set out for information disclosure policy for the nation, from that presumption of an openness to making disclosable records and documents available in electronic formats, to ensuring that documents are requested three times or more be available to the public, which makes an informal rule official, the creation of a consolidated FOIA portal that allows filing with any agency, limits on the use of the Exemption 5, which covers deliberative materials, pre-decisional materials, and expanded and codified role for the Office of Government Information Services, OGIS, which lives within the National Archives, and has a ombudsman, which is supposed to help resolve differences of opinion, and the creation of a federal FOIA Officers Council, kind of like the federal CIO Council, and essentially, depending upon the bill, some making material of public interest available electronically, which is to say on the Internet.
But isn't this the administration that, while promising the most transparency, is the one that has reduced the FOIA percentages being fulfilled? And isn't it one of the biggest culprits in withholding FOIA or delaying FOIA is Eric Holder's Justice Department?
We definitely have seen the growth of FOIA requests, and we've seen the percentage of FOIA requests that have been answered fully go down. It is important to keep in mind that the bulk of those requests go to the Department of Homeland Security. And the resources that have been made available to those agencies on down have not been as great. I think they've actually been reduced. And in many cases, unfortunately, the agencies are not getting the full, maybe, traction out of modern technology that they might be. There's still a wide version of FOIA systems and software that's used out there that makes it harder for them to get the same productivity revolution. But you are quite right. There are a number of choices that the administration has made in terms of ensuring White House equities are acknowledged in FOIA and getting a review in the executive branch at that level. And the Department of Justice itself, I think, can be fairly said not to be adhering to the same standards that the former Attorney General set out for it.
We are speaking with Alex Howard, senior analyst at the Sunlight Foundation. And so what now, the White House has said that it would like to sign the Senate version, but it has some negotiating to do on the House version. What are the big differences there?
You're correct. I think that when asked, the press secretary said that the president would sign it. I can see why they might prefer the Senate version, because there are a number of elements of H.R. 653 which are not there. One is that it would authorize inspectors general to review agencies' FOIA compliance and then recommend adverse action if they decided they wish to. There's a much stronger reform of the use of Exemption 5. There's no cutouts for attorney-client or work product privileges. And there's a strong test that someone would need to pass to withhold records. There's specifically, it focuses on, quote, the opinions that are controlling interpretations of law, quote, final reports and memoranda created by an entity other than the agency that are used to make a final policy decision. There's no similar articulation of that kind of information. There's also a provision that describes a process the federal agency has to follow when required to contact another agency. That's something that I believe the Department of Justice has objected to. And there's also something quite useful, which is requiring agencies to provide the public with a name, phone number, and email address of a FOIA officer who can provide requesters with the status of the request. Astonishingly, in 2016, that's not something that currently exists for all agencies.
All right. So is your sense that should they be able to reach some kind of agreement that the level of FOIA requests that are fully fulfilled would, in fact, rise as a result of this legislation?
That is my sense, yes. There is a, as I mentioned, a dynamic that exists today where our commercial requesters of public records across government, not just at the federal level, but at the state and local level, are major users of the law to acquire information that's relevant to their interests. And focusing on proactive disclosure of records that are clear interests to them in terms of following that demand signal should, in theory, free up more resources to answer requests that are of a different nature, coming from journalists, NGOs like Sunlight, et cetera. The question, too, is how well they'll be able to use technology. The Department of Justice has not followed through on the national commitment and the Open Government Action Plan to create that portal. They got started working with 18F inside of GSA, but haven't done any work on it since last July. But there's a lot in this that's good. We certainly support it. You know, the question with any law is interpretation and the degree to which any given administration is willing to deploy its political capital to make sure there's adherence. The reality with this is it's codifying into law what the administration has already said it should be doing, and in many cases is. And if the next president, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, is going to be held effectively to account, I think we want to see this passed.
And one way that agencies can maybe not implement a law not of their liking is they can delay things. And one way they can delay things is starve the FOIA office. And we've seen that in a few cases. So don't agencies, and I guess by extension the White House, have some work to do to make sure that the FOIA offices are staffed fully to their statutory limits?
Yes, that's a straightforward answer.
Alex Howard is senior analyst at the Sunlight Foundation. Appreciate that update.
It was a pleasure to join you again. Thank you.
You can share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.